Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Conversation of Our Generation. My name is Nick Jamel, and this is where we solve the problems of today with the wisdom of the past. And today, we have a special episode where I'll be talking to the author of Last Call, Matt Nunes, and it is going to be a very interesting conversation about how to become a published author. He's written a nonfiction book and gotten it published, and now he's working on a couple others and actually looking to get those published and even working on a fourth in the series. And so definitely lots of great insight into the publishing world, writing, his method, how you do that. And we look at both fiction and nonfiction. So for anyone who's out there trying to get a little bit of an insight into getting your thoughts out there, because I think a huge part of the conversation of our generation is getting our thoughts not just out in the discourse on Twitter, but really fleshing out our ideas and our stories and putting those out there for others to check out and for future generations as well. And so this is going to be a good episode for anyone who's wanting to learn how to do that. And before I dive in to the interview, I just want to remind you to go to conversationofourgeneration.com/podcast to subscribe to the podcast anywhere you can find it, and on Twitter at @conofourgen and facebook.com/conversationofourgeneration to follow me there. And I will also have links in the show notes to Matt's work, Last Call, and everything else for his social media too, for you to follow him there. So definitely check it out, and let's go ahead to the interview.
Thanks, Matt, for joining me today on the Conversation of Our Generation. I'm excited to talk to you, and I think this will be a really cool conversation for people, for my audience, who are looking to become authors. And so thanks for coming on today.
Oh, you're certainly welcome. And hopefully they'll get something from my experience, because it wasn't all positive.
I'm sure that it seems like it's a big process, and so I'm sure there's a lot of ups and downs there. So why don't you kick it off with just giving us a little bit of a background on who you are? Tell us a little bit about yourself. And
sure. I've been a working stiff most of my life. As a matter of fact, I checked, and I've got W-2s going back to 1970. So just so you, but in the middle of all of that, I found that writing was a strength of mine in almost any job I had. So as whether I was writing proposals, whether I was writing processes and procedures for the organization I worked for, it was something that that I actively enjoyed, which, since most people who were responsible for that hated it, I wound up getting a lot of that kind of work coming my way. As time went on, and I kept destroying my own career in one way, shape, or form, I wound up working for a good friend and who's had a very small boutique kind of construction company. And of course, because it was a very small company, there were times where we didn't even take a paycheck. So to make ends meet, I started bartending. This is quite some time ago. And got a whole bunch of really odd experiences from doing that. It was not an upscale bar by any means, but the owner called it a neighborhood bar. Everybody else in town called it a dive, but it was fun. It was interesting. I certainly learned a lot about a lot of people that I would have otherwise not even have met. And between the characters and everything else, terrible incident at the bar, guy got hurt, and it turned into a book over time. I started writing about it just to kind of get it out of my system, and then the what if started. So the book came to be. And once I had the basic premise, it wrote itself at an incredibly overlong length. And ultimately, I really had to do some painful editing to get it down to a usable length. But it's been like the Grateful Dead. It's been a long, strange trip. I started out in the Merchant Marine. I wound up building nuclear power plants, and I got into that industry shortly before Three Mile Island, and the industry kind of died out. We finished off the plants we were building, and then I went to work for a utility. Just gone through a strange set of career changes over time, and it's all been really kind of grist for the mill. I've had to learn a lot wherever I wound up. So, and that was part of what made most of those jobs attractive, is I was always learning something new. In the meantime, still continued to write, and as I came up with the book, it was like, okay, now what? I am a storyteller. I have a story. Now what? So I did some research online, and there's any number of paths you can follow. That's the thing. If you talk to 1,000 different writers, there's 1,000 slightly different paths that they've taken to get to publication. I found an agent who was willing to look at this incredibly overlong book and explain how short it had to be in order for her to have it sellable. And that was basically it. I probably sent out about 200 query letters to agents because I decided that was the path I wanted to follow. Others have gone directly to the publisher. It's almost the same route. It's a query letter. If they're interested, they ask for 10, 20, sometimes 50 pages, the 51st pages, and they make a decision based on that, or they want to see the entire manuscript. So whether you go for an agent or you go directly to a publisher, then it's going to be a similar process for fiction. Nonfiction, you can go with a proposal, which is pretty cool. You don't even have to have the book written. Fiction, got to be done. It's painful.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are like, I have a great idea for a story, and they're like, everyone has a great idea for a story.
Everybody should, and there is a story that everybody has to tell, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, and nobody can tell that story as well as you can. So I would encourage you to start writing. Now, the downside of that, of course, is as you start writing and you realize, it's a great story idea and I'm 10 pages in and I've got to come up with another 200 pages and I'm not sure it's there. Chances are it is. Okay. It's just, and again, 1,000 different writers, 1,000 different processes.
Mm-hmm. So what was your process like then? Did you... an outline? Did you just kind of start writing and have the story, or?
My agent asked for an outline and I sent her one, and she has never asked me for another one since. I'm terrible with them. I cannot write them. I cannot write from them. I know another writer who writes young adult stuff and she can't work without them. Mm-hmm. She needs that structure. I can't work within that structure. That's just me. So my process is unusual from what I'm told, because basically if I'm really working actively, I'm doing about 3,000 to 5,000 words a day. Okay. So let's say I start on Monday and I get 5,000 words down. Deathless prose, no doubt. Right. I mean, I'm just blazing through trying to get through what I want to get accomplished by the end of that day. Okay. So Tuesday, I sit down and I start on page one and I read and edit as I go through. Now, chances are that 5,000 words is now somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 1,000, two. If I did really, really well, maybe 3,000, which is fine. That's a nice goal. And then I start from there and put in another 3,000 to 5,000. The next day, I start at page one and do it all again. So by the time I finished, I've probably gone through, I don't know, dozens of iterations of editing and cleanup. And I'm thoroughly sick of the story by then as well, usually. It's tired of it. I don't like it anymore. I'm not sure I really have a story anymore. But what happens is essentially I've got a manuscript that is relatively clean. Mm-hmm. Now, if I set it aside and go back to it in 2 weeks, I'll find all kinds of stuff I want to change again. Once I saw my book Last Call published and read it as the book, I saw a lot that I would change again.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, you're never going to find the perfect expression. You're never going to find the perfect plot device if you need one. And sooner or later, somebody probably has to tell you that's good enough.
Yeah, it's gotta be tough. Like, it's, yeah, just looking back, and when you fix something up in your house or you paint the wall and you're like, there's that one little bubble, that spot.
Yeah,
I wish I could go over it, and everyone else is like, I don't see it, looks great. And so
I got some on the ceiling. Yeah, well, no, you really want to paint the ceiling now? No. it's that kind of thing. Yeah, you can drive yourself insane. And that would be one recommendation I had to a new writer, is when you think it's done, even if you don't think it's not good enough, have somebody else take a look at it, because by now you are fully aware of every flaw you've got. And you really got to have a little bit of a thick skin too. I will say this, writers who get published have a hide like a rhinoceros, because you've heard no an awful lot. Mm-hmm. And the reasons they give are, if they bother to give reasons at all, and many times they won't. That's another thing is publishers and agents, really, if you submit and they don't want it, and it's usually a pretty subjective decision for why they don't want it, they don't like to give reasons because they don't want you resubmitting that same work. They just, you know, so they'll generally say it's just not for me. I don't think it fits or something like that. Every once in a while, they will offer good criticism, but it's odd. Because, I mean, I had one publisher tell me, love the voice, love the character, not so thrilled about the plot. Mm. 2 weeks later, I got a reject letter from another publisher who said, love the plot, not so thrilled about the characters, and hate the voice. Now, either one of those is 100% rewrite if you're going to try to match it. Yeah. And trying to suit something to an individual publisher, an individual editor's taste is just not going to happen. So
yeah, it seems like you just have to find the right partnership of someone who kind of has the same feeling. And it's like, okay, I can see where this is, you know, rough around the edges, but I can see kind of the diamond there. And
there's a story I like in general, I like it. Maybe they don't care for the pacing or something like that, and they want you to pick it up. But yes, you've got to find that one person who it hits. Mm-hmm. And they know the
audience too,
and they know their audience, so they know whether or not they believe it will sell in that audience. So it's a toughening experience. You suddenly learn to live with, no, it's not personal. You don't stink. You aren't a talentless hack. You do have some abilities. It's just that they don't particularly like this particular work. So, okay. Move on. It's persistence. And in my case, it's an agent who flatly refused to give up on the book. Mm-hmm. You know, cool. She went through the rounds of kind of the usual suspects, and they all came back with a no for one reason or another. Got as far as committee a few times and things like that. But she never really gave up on the story. And she's kind of a Mama Grizzly personality too. So she gets a little defensive about it at times, but I really lucked out because she believed in it.
That's awesome.
And that was just, you know, and that's been an amazing experience. It's like her telling me, you know, me saying, okay, I just suck. It's okay. I can live with that. You know, I'm not Faulkner. I never intended to be, but, and she said, no, you're not Faulkner, but you're as good as people who were published, certainly. So let's keep at it. And that was enough to keep me going. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And mm-hmm. I think that the thing that confuses me the most as I look around is like the word count stuff and how you play with that world. I mean, was that something that you had to learn and figure out, like how to, like what, like yeah. I guess, what were the targets for you, or maybe what's the target for nonfiction for someone looking over there?
It depends on the genre and it depends on the subject matter. And, you know, for nonfiction, you might not want to target a length, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that's just, you know, can I get everything said that needs to be said in this nonfiction? Is it history? Is it self-help? Is it just biography, something like that? How much do I need to get the story told? Mm-hmm. Okay. In the case of fiction, specific genres, they kind of do look for word count. Mystery for a new novelist, new writer, 90,000 words max. That's what you got. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, if you're Stephen King, you can do whatever you want and they're pretty much going to go with it. But for a new mystery writer, they look around 85,000-90,000 words, which is a little over 200 pages.
Okay.
So that's kind of, yeah, there are targets out there. And if you speak to people who are knowledgeable in the genre you intend to write in, mm-hmm. then they can kind of give you some guidance there. For a biography, you've got 120,000 words. Good luck. That's you're telling somebody's life story, and you just threw a nice little limit on there. What if they live to be 110? What do you skimp on for that sort of thing? You know, what was formative and what was just an occurrence? There were very good reasons I don't write nonfiction. And that's kind of one of them is I don't know that I could manage it. And yet there are people out there who are outstanding at it. Different process for nonfiction. Certainly you can go straight to a publisher with a proposal and they either like the idea or they don't, then they're going to look for outlines and then they're going to look for some execution before they finalize. But at least, you know, you can get in the door without having the book mm-hmm. complete. Fiction, got to be done. You got to have a draft. So it's a little bit of a different process. Mm-hmm. But
I know for me, I read a lot of nonfiction. I like philosophy books and I like, you know, that kind of stuff. And so, or especially political philosophy and things like that, that's what I really enjoy reading way too much. And so that's where I would kind of tend. And it seems like there's a wide range. Like you can read some pamphlet sized things that are like Murray Rothbard's Anatomy of the States, 60 something pages. And then you have Plato's Republic is, well, I don't know how many.
several volumes. Yeah. And good old Thazzy Marcus. There's his foil. Okay, good. I mean, it's a very, very wide spectrum. I mean, what did I just see? President Obama's memoirs. The first volume is going to be like over 700 pages. Okay, yeah. So it's like that's a little tough to envision. It's like, okay, so on January 21st, I get out of bed, and then I don't know what he's going to actually put in there. But he is a pretty good writer, and he's a pretty engaging writer. So I don't know, but and I'm sure there's going to be elements of political philosophy in there as well. You got Plato's Republic, you've got and then you've got something as simple as the Federalist Papers, where each one is almost like a pamphlet. Mm-hmm. Astonishes me that people actually read those and understood those. Just the man on the street was like waiting for the next paper to come out, mm-hmm. sort of like an installment of Stranger Things. But
they didn't have as much Netflix to kind of numb their minds with. I think they had to be. But
yeah, I guess when you're stuck with nothing but rum, ale, and the Federalist Papers, you make do. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so what's it like now being a published author? I mean, how does that, now you're done with that whole process, you got the book out there, now what's that look like?
Well, the first thing I did once I got published was sit down and actually write the next two in this. It's intended to be a series. Mm-hmm. So I wrote the next two in the series. They're with my agent. Publishers, okay, big name authors who are known, who have a reputation, who people just really, okay, the publishing companies do an extensive amount of marketing for them. Mm-hmm. Okay, me, not so much. Okay, so as a matter of fact, not at all. They gave me a list of things to do. It's a very long list. Do this, do this, do this. And my agent has a person working in the agency who is a specialist in marketing, so she's been helping. So a lot of the effort is trying to get some momentum, trying to get some sales, trying to get some buzz, trying to get some reviews. Oh my God. Trying to get people to review it is like pulling teeth. Now, I'm sure if you're a credible reviewer, you get 500 requests a week. Yeah. And trying to stand out in that crowd and get somebody to look at it. And of course, if the book's already out and published, a lot of reviewers won't even look at it. So that level of marketing, most new authors are going to be on their own. And that doesn't even touch the self-publishing mm-hmm. aspect of it. There's an awful lot of self-published authors out there. Amazon will publish an ebook for you. They claim they will do marketing. They lie. That is not what they do. They basically give you marketing opportunities that you can take advantage of. Mm-hmm. So it's not a complete lie, but it's not entirely what you would expect. We'll do all your marketing for you. That implies all your marketing. No, they provide all the tools so that you can do your own. Self-publishing is another option. There are writers who are very successful with it, who actually make a living writing, doing their own publication. It saves a middleman. What it doesn't do is it doesn't give you that extra pair of eyes. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's critical. I need somebody to tell me you're dragging, the pace is off. You need to pick up the pace, and something needs to happen between here and here because nobody cares about this guy's inner life. Which is unfortunately true, but you know, I need that. Other writers really have a level of confidence and have the ability, maybe they have a couple of beta readers who look at things for them, but self-publishing is another path, and it seems to work for some. You know, the challenge there is to get, you know, noticed, to something to stand out and to get some buzz going on your book. I didn't have to do that. I'm glad. I still have to do considerable amounts of my own marketing. And that's a challenge because it's not a skill set I have. So it's like I have to learn as I go. And, you know, my agent's kind of marketing guru has been very good. She's been very encouraging without pointing out, hey, you're kind of a dumbass, which she easily could. And it would also be true. You know, you need to have an account on Instagram and a Twitter account. It's like, I don't know how to twit. No idea what this stuff is. But fortunately, I have a daughter who's 21 who does. So that sort of thing. And, you know, she's been really, really, I will say her patience is astonishing. Because if I was in her position working with me, I would have just, like, you know, given me a figurative slap across the back of the head and walked away. But she's been really good about it. That's difficult for me. Now, if you've got somebody, I mean, you know, here we go. If somebody is writing a book on marketing, one would think that they would have the skill set to go out and do that. And so the more difficult part for them might be actually writing the book than it would be getting it out into the public. Kind of a different problem. Not a bad problem to have. I would say the writing is a pleasure. Once I've got the plot, once I've got the characters, once I know where I'm going, it feels as if the book is writing itself. I can almost see it playing out as if it was a excruciatingly long movie. But that part's great. Then it's the editing. Then after I've gone through multiple iterations of editing and I set it aside for a week and pick it up and start editing again, it's like, oh God, this is hell. And I had one guy gave me the tip, kill your baby. Find the best writing in there. And unless it's critical to the story, do a hard delete. After that, everything's easy. Mm-hmm. And that proved to be true. Because of course, every golden word that I put out there must be valuable, otherwise it wouldn't be on the page, which is absolute garbage. That's not true. So I find it the writing part of it and the okay, I know what's going to happen next and nobody reading this would, that kind of you know, that ability is fun. But
that's interesting.
And again, it's fiction, so if I can make it happen or I can make it not happen. I can kill somebody or keep them alive. It's entirely up to me. So that part's it's probably the only actual power I have when I think about it.
Yeah, the power over the characters.
Yep. Don't make me mad. I'll kill you. And I'll never go to jail for it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's definitely interesting. I know that for me, sitting down to write is probably one of the hard things, is just getting that started. I don't know why, but then when I start to read through, I can kind of say, oh, I've started to work on like a little piece of nonfiction, like the evolution of property rights. And from, you know, looking back and then into today and looking forward as now everything's digital, how does that work? And it seems to me that as I go back and read it, I can be like, oh yeah, that doesn't make any sense in that spot. Like I can edit what I did, but just sitting down to like put my thoughts to paper is tough because I feel like I think too fast almost for myself.
The other thing that I find intimidating is like I'm probably within the next couple of probably by next month I'll be started on the fourth book in the series.
Oh, wow.
And one of the most intimidating, terrifying sights in the world is that blank page with a cursor in the upper left corner blinking away at you. And it's like, write something, you know. Just put something that you can always delete it later, but get, and that's really what it takes, is just that, okay, whatever I put down may or may not be any good at all, but get going. Mm-hmm. And then once that happens, you start to, the inertia is going in your favor instead of against you. But that blank sheet with that little cursor going blick, 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 yeah. It's always tempting to just slam the lid down and call it a day. Yeah, no, not today. I don't feel like it. I'm afraid. And it is that moment when you say, okay, I'm going to fingers to keyboard, screens up, cursors blinking. Okay, now what? It can be legitimately scary to you. If you really feel like you've got to get something out.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's just, yeah, breaking that static friction and getting started is tough. And so now, like, what's kind of looking forward? You said you're working on the fourth book now. How are things going on the other two? What's that problem?
I've got drafts of the next two.
Okay.
And those drafts are in my agent's hands. Yeah. And she is married to a criminal attorney, which actually is kind of handy.
Yeah.
Because I've got in one of the books, I've got some legal machinations that a defense attorney is going through. And it's like, is this legit? So he's kind of scoping that out for me. And she's reading it basically for content and to see about it. Really the big flaw that I have, I think, in my writing is I tend to slow the pace at times. It's a mystery. So I've got to at least throw some kind of breadcrumb clues out. And in the meantime, how does my protagonist connect the dots to get to the conclusion where the guilty party is actually identified? And it's like those moments where he's actually thinking about it and figuring it out, the pace comes from like, everything's going really well and people are dying and there's violence and there's all this good stuff going on and, you know, occasional smatterings of sex. And all of a sudden it's all about his internal thoughts. And it's like, you can almost feel the brakes slamming. Mm-hmm. And getting through that as expeditiously as possible and trying to keep that pace moving is, for me, kind of challenging. But so she watches for that kind of stuff. And she's got a terrific blue pencil. She's got a very good eye. And so hopefully by the time she actually starts to submit for publication, it'll be a very, very clean manuscript. So that's really the... So right now she's going through those next two manuscripts and her husband is reviewing the legal stuff. Fortunately, he's got a wonderful sense of humor. So whatever he comes back with should at least be, you know, entertaining. However badly I did it. And then it will be going through the submittal process all over again. The publisher who saw the first one, is interested in doing it as a series. Okay. So that's positive. On the other hand, if another publisher wants to continue the series and is making a reasonable agreement with me, I'd be open to that too. But, you know, I don't see Random House lining up and trying to beat out anybody else to get to my stuff at this point.
Mm-hmm. So, I see.
What I'd like to do is every time one is published, I'd like to have at least two in the can ready to go. That's the objective. And I think the character, probably I can handle maybe six or eight books in the series main character.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that it's interesting when you're talking about kind of slowing down the pace and that stuff. I notice it as a reader, but I guess it's really tough because I don't have that fiction mind. Like, I don't know how to, I guess, I don't understand the devices that go into writing that. Like, I read, Andrew Klavan is another mystery writer that I like a lot, and his things, like, as you were saying that, I notice his characters, when they're piecing together what's going on, it's very fast and, like, almost, like, kind of frantically thinking. Like, you can see that that's how... I wonder if that's part of what it is just like...
It is, because it really can drag. Because, I mean, you can write pages of description of his thought process if you want to.
I just finished...
And it really doesn't, you know, it's not advancing the story. And that's something you got to be wary of, is like, man, that's brilliant. What a beautiful piece of prose that is. And it does absolutely nothing. to move the story along so it's gone. But I think I'm going to clip it and save it on a separate document because I'm so proud of how well I wrote that. You know, there are writers out there who can do it brilliantly.
Russian authors do that very well.
Russian authors do, yeah. But I mean, there are writers out there that write in mystery. Walter Mosley is as far as I'm, he may be the best pure writer in the genre right now, just because what he can do with a thumbnail sketch of a character in a paragraph or less, and then when that character does something 100 pages later, you completely understand why they reacted the way they did just based on that character sketch 100 pages ago. And he kind of pops into the story, does what he's there to do, and pops out of the story, and the pace is always there. It's always moving. It's always moving along because he can do that with his protagonist's thought processes too. Mm-hmm. The guy, I mean, one of the things you find as a writer is that if you write enough and you edit enough and you read enough, you can almost see another writer's edits. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, okay, there was a paragraph there that's not there anymore. Huh. I could see that. And I could see why he pulled it out. It's not, whatever was in there wasn't necessary. I get what's going on without that passage. And yet, I would say there's writers out there that you can't see them. I don't care how practiced you are at it or anything else. Walter Mosley, Michael Connelly is another one. He can evoke emotion and let you know what your character is feeling without ever saying so, which is, you know, he never lets you know my character is sad. He never says that directly, but somehow or another, he gets across that the character is sad without clipping that pace at all. And it's just, you know, maybe if I ever grow up, I'll be able to do that half as well. Exactly. But that's the kind of thing. Patricia Cornwell does it very, very well. You get a lot of her character's internal life without her explicitly talking about it. And, you know, how they evoke that and the skill set that's involved. And in all three of those particular cases, I can't see their edits. I know they're there. There is no way that they didn't do some pretty tough editing to get to that place, but I'm darned if I can see it. So the craftsmanship is astonishing.
Interesting. That's really cool. So I guess now, kind of to wrap up, where can people find the book? Where do they go to find you and everything
going
on?
I'm on Facebook. You're more than welcome to follow or join. Matt Nunes. I'm on Amazon, Author Central. You can find me there. And my book is on Amazon Books, and it's also on Barnes & Noble Books. Now, Amazon has it as either Kindle or print. Barnes & Noble only has it in print. Yep.
Awesome. And it's Last Call, right?
Last Call.
Yep. Definitely, I think the audience should check it out. I have it pulled up here on Amazon. I'm going to take a look here and grab it myself because I definitely need a good mystery book, something to break up between all the dense philosophy. I like to kind of take a time.
Sometimes you got to leave the world once in a while, you know? Yeah. I enjoy that kind of writing myself. I enjoy reading it, and I know for a fact I could never write it. Because maintaining a consistent set of thoughts that lead to a particular conclusion, yeah, no, not so much.
Definitely find that the outlining helps there for sure. Like having like a table of contents, high level, like this is what we're going to start with, then here, here, here. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's
that can be helpful. Index cards are writer's friends for many of them. Just, you know, write the thoughts on the index cards, put them on a board, and then you can just rearrange them as you go, shift them around, left to right, top down, or whatever. But yeah, I would struggle with that.
Awesome. Well, definitely go. I'll have links in the show notes for everyone listening to Last Call. Definitely go and check it out and follow Matt on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. His daughter will be posting there for him to help him out, right?
She absolutely will.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Matt.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Enjoyed it. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode. I think this interview was definitely a very, very good interview for us to have here, and I'm excited to get it out there and let you check it out. And reminder here to go into the show notes, grab Matt's book, follow him, and check out conversationforourgeneration.com to find out more, check out more interviews, other podcast episodes, and everything else going on at the Conversation for Our Generation. And thanks for listening to this episode of the Conversation for Our Generation. Let's get the dialogue going. I'll talk to you next time.